Blog Talk Radio.
Here's Galchenyuk, dancing in, scores! And now it's Gallagher. Gallagher stepping in and shoots, scores! Alex Galchenyuk up with a drop, look at it, he's in alone, waiting, scores!
Hello, monsieur, ladies and gentlemen, Galchenyuk, no, turn up, yes!
Oh, my stars, what a stop by Carey Price, robbing Sidney Crosby!
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
All right, welcome everybody to episode 184 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, November 5th, 2016. We took a week hiatus last week, but we're back and we're going to be here every Saturday until the end of the season. And joining me in today's episode, my co-host, editor-in-chief, owner of the All Habs Network of Sites. You can follow him on Twitter at All Habs. And also celebrating a birthday today, Rick Stevens. Hey, Rick, happy birthday.
Thanks very much, Chris. I really appreciate that. Hoping for a Habs win tonight to really celebrate.
Yeah, and Rick, I'm going to try to do my best and give you a better performance on today's show than the Canadians did last night for Michel Therrien's birthday in Columbus.
It's kind of amazing that Michel Therrien and I are just a day apart because, we agree so much.
Exactly. Birthday is one day apart, but your mindsets are a world apart.
Is
like what I like to say. So the Canadians, they won 8 games in a row, including their best start in franchise history, with getting 19 of the first possible 20 points. They have a 9-1 record. They're the best team in the NHL in terms of wins and losses, or first place in the league. But it seems that all we remember is the one regulation loss that the Canadians against the Montreal Canadiens, which was last night in Columbus, where Columbus beat the Canadiens by a score of 10-0. We're going to talk about that game, I think, for a good chunk of today's episode. And it's our question of the day: is a 10-0 loss what the Canadians needed right now? Is there any positives that you can draw from this game? You can let us know via Twitter at Habs360, and you can also let us know via the All Habs Facebook page. And in today's third segment, we'll be opening the phone lines where you can call in and give us your opinion. We're also going to get the opinion of former NHLer Bobby Dolis. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. And while we know Bobby is very passionate, he's very opinionated, so he'll let us know what's on his mind after watching last night's 10-0 loss for the Canadiens against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on Habs 360.
Well, it's the most popular, the highest rated segment that you'll find anywhere in the podcast. Habs 360, the most informative and the most interactive podcast. Winners and losers, Canadians, first place in the NHL. And Rick, let's start with your positive. There was some positive this week, wasn't there?
Absolutely, there was. If we can just blur what happened last night out of our minds and look back to the streak running up to that, there was lots of things to be positive about. In particularly, should be no surprise, Carey Price. Carey Price, he had that little stutter start to the season with the serious bout of the flu. But since then, when he's come back, he is a perfect 6-0-0. In that time, he's given up just 7 goals. His goals against is outstanding, 1.17, 964 save percentage, otherworldly kind of save percentage. you know, he's continuing on the spectacular performance he had in the World Cup of Hockey. He has just, you know, it's you'd never know that he'd been off for the better part of a year. He's been spectacular, just absolutely spectacular. And the other night, he just took the team on his back against Vancouver, and he simply won the game pretty much all by himself. Carey Price has been outstanding, and for that reason, for me, he's my my winner of the week.
Like 2 years ago, he had a fantastic season. And right now, he's got a tremendous start, you know. And you know what, Carey, he's, there's a few special players in the NHL. We could name Sidney Crosby, and certainly Carey Price is part of those special players in the NHL.
And while Carey Price has looked special, he makes it look easy. If you look at the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think the Canadians won because of Carey Price, and even the game against the Vancouver Canucks. In fact, for the game against the Canucks, let's hear Max and his comments on that game.
Tonight was just, you know, for the most part until the end of the game, probably poor effort, very, very poor execution. Have to play much, much better. That Carey stole 2 points for us.
So in the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, Carey Price made 37 saves. Against the Canucks, he made 42 saves in a to get a shutout. So very, very solid. He looks great. Technically, he's always in place. I know some Price haters who aren't Montreal Canadiens fans, and they keep saying, well, Price never makes a spectacular save. And my answer to that is, well, he doesn't need to make a spectacular save because he's always in position. If you look at goalies that have to flop left and right to make a save, it's well because they were probably out of position originally. So they had to either stick out the glove, they had to jump across the crease in order to put themselves back in position to make the save. So Carey Price, I think, was a good choice to be a winner of the week. Another potential good winner of the week, which wasn't my choice, it would have been Shea Weber. I think he's had another great week, got a bunch of individual awards. But I'm going to go with somebody who is, how can we call him? I guess an unsung hero, I guess is a way you could tell him. I don't know if he's a hero, but he's not a top six forward, but he's been playing good so far this season.
The puck, and the only man there was Quinn. Good pressure by Vancouver, but again, they just can't get it to the net. And now stepping in, to the left front, Mitchell scores!
Well, there you go. I'm going with Torrey Mitchell. We just heard that was his fifth goal of the season that he scored against the Vancouver Canucks earlier this week to give the Canadiens a 2-0 lead. And with five goals, Torrey Mitchell leads the team as a goal scorer. So does that say a lot about the team if Torrey Mitchell is leading the team in goals with five? It's hard to believe, but that's how it's going right now for Torrey Mitchell. And he scored five goals, and he's taken nine shots. That's a 56 save percentage. That's incredible. For sure, that won't last for the whole season. His shooting percentage, it's going to go down to more, I'll say, normal percentages. But right now, he's been playing great. Even if you look at the face-off circles, a 60.2 winning percentage in the face-offs. So that's pretty good. They say anything over 50 is good for the face-offs. And Torrey Mitchell, well, he's even 10% higher than that at 60%. And he's done all that by playing not a lot of ice time, 12:42, which is, you know, typical fourth line, maybe a little bit more, but he's definitely had a good start of season so far. Let's hear what the coach had to say about Mitchell prior to last night's game against Columbus.
He's definitely is, you know, he's just the way that he competes. He's been a link for a few years, and he's got tons of respect from his teammates, and not only for his teammates, from the coaching staff, because he's doing a lot of doing all the little thing right. He comes to play. He enjoyed the game, and you know, the coaching staff and the players really appreciate guys like that.
So, Rick, we heard the coach saying that the coaching staff respects him, the players respect Torrey Mitchell. What about you? Do you respect the way he's been playing this season?
Torrey Mitchell is off to a great start. The line that he centers has been called by many broadcasters as this year's best fourth line in hockey. He's with Phil Deneau, who's you know, fit in there pretty seamlessly. Brian Flynn, which I may argue is the weakest link, and the person who could come off, who might, you know, a Daniel Carr might slip in there. But we're talking about Mitchell, and he's been terrific to start. As you said, good in the faceoffs, very opportunistic with his goal scoring, works very, very hard, and not a bad choice at all as your winner of the week.
And, well, now it's time to move over to the negative side of the week and talking about our losers. And, well, Rick, I'll let you go first. I'll be shocked. I'm not sure who your loser of the week will be.
Well, it was Michel Therrien's birthday last night, so I wouldn't want to criticize him on his birthday. But since it was yesterday, I feel free to be able to say he, without question, in my mind, is the loser of the week. And you know, I'm not laying the entire loss, the 10-0 loss last night, at his feet, but this has been coming. And if you've been reading my game recaps, you'll know that I've noticed that the Canadians are not playing the same way that they played at the beginning of the season. That the line shakeup that happened during the Islanders game, we know that David Desharnais is Therrien's favorite. Moving Desharnais up to the first, second line, whatever you want to call it, 1A, 1B, with Max Pacioretty and Andrew Shaw has been an unmitigated disaster. That line has been horrible since put together. And the Islanders then through Islanders, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Vancouver. During that time, David Desharnais has gotten no goals, no assists, no points, up until last night, no shots on goal. His face-off success has been around 30%, which is terrible. Last night, Desharnais managed only 10 minutes of ice time. And in that time, he was on for three of the goals, even strength. So ended up a minus three. Plus, he took the penalty that started the whole thing, moving the Blue Jackets with the best power play in the league, got their first goal in the power play when Desharnais was in the box. And sounding like I'm making a case for Desharnais to be the, you know, my loser of the week, but it's Michel Therrien who puts him in these situations. And really, when the team was cruising along and there was starting to be some chemistry between the lines, you know, that's when Therrien made the change and upset the chemistry. We're not talking about Radulov much anymore. We're not talking about Lehkonen much anymore. Whereas at the beginning of this season, those guys were contributing. Right now, the line that's eating up all the first line minutes, the first wave power play minutes up until last night, was the Desharnais, Shaw, Pacioretty line, and it reminds me so much of the collapse of last December when Therrien, for no particular reason, put Desharnais with Pacioretty and Dale Weiss, who we'll see tonight coming in with the Flyers. His use of personnel has led to what we saw last night, and I think for that he deserves the loser of the week.
So how much before I guess I fully respond to your comment, how much of the if we're looking specifically at last night, 10-0 loss, the worst Canadiens loss in what, since I think 1942 was the last time Canadiens lost by a score of 10-0. How much do you pinpoint it on the coach himself?
Well, listen, we've seen the last two games. The Canadiens have been, in the last two games, in the first period alone, they were outshot something like 31-13. Combine the two. That's a lack of preparation. That's on coaching. That's not having your guys ready to play. In addition, the flow of the game, the chemistry that develops, the allotment of ice time, when it's not done on merit, that's the coach. It's one thing to put Kirk Muller in charge of the power play, and he's great coming up with the, you know, the systems and design strategy. But if you're handcuffing him by saying David Desharnais and Max Pacioretty must be on the first wave, then you're not allowing Kirk Muller to do his job. So I think, you know, I'm not laying the entire loss at him. I'm saying that the slide that we've seen over the past three games, you know, the Canadiens were vastly outplayed by the Canucks. Carey Price won that game. The Leafs outworked and outplayed the Canadiens, and Babcock outcoached Therrien. So I think the slide that we've seen is right in Therrien's lap. I'm not going to, you know, try to guess how much of the responsibility, how many goals should be attributed to him from last night. It was just a culmination of the entire week.
The outcome we deserve tonight, but the good news is we play, turn around and play again tomorrow and at home. So it's tough to shake it off when you get scored on that many times, but we'll see what type of group we have when we lace them up tomorrow.
I don't know. I mean, you know, they got an early lead. They got an early power play, which we knew they are first in the league. So they got their game going right away, and we weren't good enough to respond.
So that's Max Pacioretty and Thomas Plekanec after last night's game. I agree that Michel Therrien didn't have a good game, even a good week. But if we're looking specifically at last night's game, a 10-0 loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets, he wasn't the only one. I think the entire team didn't have a good game. Was there any good players on the ice in Columbus for the Canadiens? No. Like, I couldn't see one player that could say, no, he had an okay game or a good game. I think from A to Z, including Montoya in goal, they all had bad games. He switched up the lines at one point during the game. That didn't work either. Nothing was working last night. I think it's one of those games where, you know what, you just throw out, it's a really bad game, you forget about it, and you move on. And like you mentioned in the clips, the good part is that Canadiens are playing once again tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. There's a lot of talk on Twitter or in the media as well that they should have pulled Al Montoya and put Carey Price in goal at a certain point. Some said 3-0, 5-0, 6-0, whatever. A lot of people wanted Carey Price to be put in net. I think it would have been useless. At the same time, I just want to say that a lot of people said the people who were defending the fact that Carey Price wasn't put in goal was because what happens if you put Carey Price in and he gets injured? I don't buy that part of it. It's not the reason why I think Carey Price shouldn't have played last night. I think it's because regardless if he would have played or not, if he would have came in, it would have made no difference at that point. Whether the score was 3-0 or 5-0, the team just wasn't ready, wasn't playing, nothing was working on their end. So putting Carey Price to me just would have done nothing. Rick, do you think Al Montoya should have been pulled out at some point?
No, I don't. It's a tough business, and emotionally, I felt for Al Montoya last night, for his confidence, for you know, the embarrassment factor. I think you saw Carey Price pacing in the corridor. He certainly felt for Al Montoya. He certainly wanted to be in there to spare him from any kind of embarrassment. But the right call was made. Therrien said that Stefan Waite went to Montoya, talked to him between the second and third. Carey Price hadn't skated. He didn't take the morning skate. He was promised the day off. It's not easy for a goaltender to go in cold like that anyway, and having not even skated earlier in the day kind of exacerbates that situation. So as tough as it was to see Al Montoya have to go through that, it was the right call. It was whether it was Therrien that made the call or Stefan Waite, it was the right call to leave Montoya in. The goaltender that you have to protect in this circumstance is Carey Price. They did that. It's tough. It's terrible. But Al Montoya is the backup. And you saw last night they showed him in the crease and he was smiling. He's a veteran goalie. He can absorb this certainly much better than Mike Condon could have last year. It was tough to go through, but it was, in my opinion, it was the right decision.
So we're going to get back to that game in just a couple moments here on the podcast. It's time now for me for my loser of the week, and I'm going to go a little bit away from the Montreal Canadiens and what they did on the ice this week. I'm going to go something that happened in St. John's, where Guy Lafleur was in town. And he was being interviewed by Brian Rogers, who is a friend of the podcast, by the way. And you could read the entire quotes of what happened on the AHL dot report. And Guy Lafleur was a guest in their intermission report. And out of nowhere, he just started pulling a rant on PK Subban. And what he writes, he says, "The point is hockey is not a one-man show, and that's why they got rid of PK. It's a good trade for PK to go to Nashville because I think Nashville needs that type of player. They need a showman, and PK is the right guy. For us, the Montreal Canadiens, to get Shea Weber, it is fantastic because he brought in so much stability defensively, and he's pretty mature. Right now in the dressing room, I didn't go there, but I'm sure that the team spirit is a lot better, and they are more positive about playing night after night compared to last year, where it seems like players didn't like what PK was doing." It's not the first time that Guy Lafleur goes on a rant against PK Subban, even before the trade happened. So to me, it's clear that Guy Lafleur had some sort of agenda against PK Subban. And the worst part of all of this is that Brian Rogers didn't even ask anything to Guy Lafleur about that trade, and out of nowhere, Guy Lafleur started blurting that out there. So he was trying to draw attention to himself. And two key words that I want to focus to what he said is, when he says, "I didn't go there," and he's talking about in the dressing room, but I'm sure the team spirit is a lot better. And at one point he says, "It seems like players didn't like what PK was doing." So he even admits that he doesn't know, but he's out there blurting, trash against PK Subban. Like, maybe he's right, but maybe he's not. But I name my loser of the week because, well, what's the point of making those comments at this time? Rick?
Yeah, no, I understand exactly what you're saying. It was a bizarre interview. Brian Rogers is his favorite player was Guy Lafleur. So he was quite excited about the interview. It was between the second and third period of the St. John's Ice Caps game. Brian Rogers texted me and said, "Hey, listen to this because I'm excited. I get to interview Guy Lafleur." And Brian was talking about Guy's, his career and how great it was to be in the kind of locker room that he was in. And Lafleur went directly to PK. I mean, they talked about other things first, but at some point the interview turned and he made that shot and very directly and bluntly said that's the reason they got rid of PK, and said that the players didn't appreciate what PK was doing in the locker room. Now, Guy Lafleur has access. Guy Lafleur is around the team. He has access. He has access to players. He talks to players. I don't doubt that some of what he was saying, or maybe much of what he was saying, is true. But yeah, I really question, like you did, I question the timing. I question, you know, why he would feel so strongly that it had to be said, and said the way it did. Guy Lafleur is still, the other thing that's kind of astonishing is Guy Lafleur is still paid by the Montreal Canadiens. He is an official ambassador of the Montreal Canadiens. So there's some weight behind his words. And I was a little surprised that he wasn't more like an ambassador. He wasn't more careful with the language that he chose. But we know Guy Lafleur, we know he's not like that. And it was, it was stunning. It was stunning. And once as you said, we published the story on AHL.report, Twitter was ablaze all last Saturday about this story.
Yes, the AHL.report, if you want to read the complete story and Guy Lafleur's complete comments. All right, we're going to take our first break. On either side, former NHLer Bobby Dulles will join us, and we're going to talk about Montreal Canadiens. We're going to talk about last night's 10-0 loss against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net. Your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from art2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. I will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of art2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter, as more details on the Habs contest will be announced soon. For high-quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit art2canvas.com.
Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the St. John's Ice Caps or the Brampton Beast more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got what you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. allhabs.net. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back. It's episode 184 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, November 5th, 2016. My name is Chris G, along with Rick Stevens, editor-in-chief of the All Habs network of sites. And joining us now on the line, former NHLer and the Montreal Canadiens analyst, is Bobby Dulles. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for joining us. So that last night's game between the Canadiens and the Blue Jackets, 10-0 loss. When you were in the NHL, were you ever part of the losing side of a big blowout loss?
To be honest, I mean, I don't recall ever losing a game like 10-0 or, you know, like 9-1. I mean, I think I lost some games where it was like 5
5-1 or 5-0, that kind of stuff. But when you start getting up into the double digits, I don't think that happens too often. I know back in my day, I think when it got up to maybe about 4 or 5, there would have been some kind of big fight to calm things down. I think the other team gets the message, you know. So I didn't see any of that last night. There was definitely no fight back from the Montreal Canadiens last night.
So what happened last night?
Well, look, for me personally, I've been talking about it all week over here in Montreal. I was on with Chris Nyland, you know, this week on Thursday, and we're talking about the previous two games, you know, the Toronto and the Vancouver games. And I said, look, I see a lot of things happening here where the Canadiens, they're putting their sticks on the ice and they're relying on goaltending to win games and basically trying to score a couple of goals and just to be competitive. And I think what ends up happening is they've become very, very passive, very complacent. And I think they got exposed last night. I mean, arguably, I think Toronto should have beat them. Vancouver, if they knew how to score goals, should have beat them. And last night they got beat badly. So let's see how the Montreal Canadiens are going to be bouncing back tonight.
On le voyait venir, comme au baseball, on sort d'une série mondiale. On voyait ça venir comme une grosse, grosse curveball. Aussi longtemps que tu ne te brûles pas. Il y a jamais de bonnes choses qui vont arriver.
Hey Bobby, it's Rick Stevens, All Habs on Twitter. Really happy you're with us today. We just heard that clip from Therrien, and last night in his post-game presser, he said that it was a tough game and that it was a bit of a curveball. He used a baseball analogy. But he said that the coaching staff, we saw this coming. If the coaching staff saw it coming, why didn't they do something to prevent it?
Well, look, let's face it, Rick. I mean, the thing is, you cannot win 80 games. It's impossible to do, you know. That's a given. Now, you can win your fair share of games, and that's also a given. But I think that when you do see things like this habit forming, you know, like I was talking earlier about the two previous games, you know, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal got outplayed, and they saw, and like they said, they saw how it was unfolding. They saw where it was going. You know, I was using an expression this morning with a friend of mine. I says, you know, my father was told to go to the store and buy some milk. And his father gave him a slap in the face first before he left. And he goes, why'd you slap me in the face? Well, it was because if you're thinking about spilling it, I'm going to slap you now. So it's like if you see that it's coming, why wouldn't you try to slap them in the face and say, hey, we see this coming. Let's do something about it. Let's address it right away. Instead of saying after the fact, oh, you know what? We were just sitting here on our hands and we didn't do anything about it. And I think that's what was more disappointing because I saw it forming. I think a few people saw it forming. And that's when you see that kind of thing, you got to be able to grab the bull by the horns and say, hey, guys, you've won nothing so far. Last year, your record was this, and you didn't even make it to playoffs. You know, these kind of things have to be put in their face all the time. It can't always be rainbows out there. You got to be able to reel those guys in and say, look, guys, it's got to be serious. This is what's happening. We see a lot of bad habits, a lot of things forming. Let's do something about it. And like you said, just saying we saw it coming and didn't do anything about it, I think that's unacceptable.
One of the things that was a lot of criticism last night on social media headed towards David Desharnais, and he had a terrible game last night, -3. He was in the penalty box for the first goal. But again, this is something we talked about it before you came on, and in my game recaps, I too have been seeing this slide that I talked about, where the Canadians are relying more and more on goaltending. And it was back at the Islanders game when Therrien reunited Desharnais with Pacioretty, and really scrambled the rest of the lines. And since then, we haven't seen anything from in the four games in the lead up to last night. Desharnais has had no goals, no shots, no points. No, nothing. What does Therrien see in him, or that combination with Pacioretty, that he keeps sending them out there without any changes?
Well, I think this is the million-dollar question. I think a lot of us have been asking this for not just this year. We're talking about years now. Why do you keep going to a guy that I think at best is a third-line center, able to jump up and play a little bit of power play to help out in some scenarios? And I think that the raises a bigger red flag, basically saying you don't trust in Galchenyuk. And for myself, I think Galchenyuk is the number one guy. Right now, it's, you know, who is the number two? Plekanec is not playing well. Deharna is not playing well. So who do you have in that slot? I think that's a bigger red flag right now for the Montreal Canadiens, basically saying we don't have anybody. We're just going to keep trying to mix it up underneath, and we're going to rely on our goaltending in the meantime and try to win games 2-1 or 3-2. That's what they're basically saying. And it's for me, I'm not happy about it. And why? Because I think David Desharnais has had better years. His better years are behind him. People know how to play him. He's getting a little bit older. Last year of his contract, it's, you know, stop giving him the opportunities to gain another contract instead of trying to weed him out and maybe put somebody in that spot. Myself personally, I think it's a good time to bring up a guy like Michael McCarron and put him in that third slot and just get things going the way they're supposed to be going in the National Hockey League.
Is it easy for the players now to put last night's game behind and be focused on tonight's game? Like, is there anything positive that could come out of a 10-0 loss?
Well, I'll tell you what, the positive thing about last night's game, it was such a bad game that it's one of those games that if you had a VHS or a CD of the game, you don't even look at it. You just throw it in the garbage. It's one of those explosion videos. You just throw it, you burn it, and say, okay, that's not going to happen again, because there ain't nothing good you're going to pull off that tape. Unless you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, there's nothing good you're pulling off that tape. So you got to be able to say, look, that's a stinker. We weren't prepared. We weren't this. We weren't that. That's fine and dandy to say. Now step on the ice and show it. Because, you know, last night, I understand the game has changed. There's not much fighting. There's not much of that stuff going on. But when it was around 4-5 nothing, somebody should have been accountable and say, this is enough. This is embarrassing. You know, just step up and do something. You grab somebody, throw somebody in the ground. You know, a couple of guys do the scrum, the hullabaloo, whatever you want to call it that. Just to say to the other guys, hey, guys, respect us. Because last night, I didn't see any respect. Columbus just kept coming, and Montreal looked like a bunch of little sheep out there, and they were just getting rolled over.
So the best thing to do is to put this game behind and forget about it.
File it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But do you think, I mean, does it happen when you have a game like that? Does it get referenced later on in the season that, hey, remember, it, you know, we should learn from? And I guess the part two of the question is do other teams in the league reference this game? In other words, hey, the Canadians are coming in out unbeaten. They're intimidating. They have a bit of a swagger until last night. And then, you know, teams can say, hey, if Columbus, the 26th place team, can beat them 10-0, we can beat them.
Well, I think in a lot of ways that's true. But I think what's more alarming is, you know, it looked like Toronto found a way to beat the Montreal Canadiens. You know, I think Vancouver looked at the game tape and said, look, this is the way they played against Montreal and almost beat them. You know, now Columbus look at the same tapes going, what did they do to put Montreal on their heels? So from what I'm thinking is, it seems to be the same. The teams are watching videos about what works against Montreal. And right now, Montreal is not doing anything. They're just continuing on their same road, playing the same style and hoping for different results. You can't hope for Carey Price to carry to the promised land. You know, teams are looking at video. They look at it daily. And when a team comes in and has good success against a certain team, everybody wants to copy it. Back in my day, we used to always look at game tapes of teams that played well against the Detroit Red Wings, because that was a team in the 90s. So what we did is we tried to copy them, take a page out of their book, and then put it in their face. We made the games very difficult for Detroit, just like a lot of other teams. So now teams are going to start making it very difficult for Montreal. Now, the thing is, Montreal's coaching staff has to find a different way to play the game, or else it's going to be deja vu all over again.
One of the coach's decisions that's been criticized from last night's game is the fact that Al Montoya was in goal for all 10 goals. Do you think Montoya should have been pulled at some point?
Well, I'll tell you what, my buddy from Anaheim, Guy Hebert, the goalie there, tweeted me last night. You know, he goes, "What's going on?" That's puzzling. He wrote to me puzzling on Twitter. And I thought for sure Carey Price was coming in for the third period. And I understand you're trying to save him. I understand you don't want to hurt him. But at the same time, too, you're destroying one other guy to try and save another guy. I mean, look, Carey Price was up and down in the corridor last night, stretching and warming up, because he knew if it was the other way around, he'd want the same thing. I mean, all of a sudden, you don't do that. You left him in the net saying, "Here, Al, it's all on you right now, and sorry about your luck." I mean, they just kept coming and coming and coming. I think it would have been a good opportunity for Carey Price to go in for the third and say, "Look, shut the door here for the third, and let's get ready for tomorrow night. Think of it as a pregame skate tonight." And they didn't do it, and I thought that was kind of weird to leave Montoya in the net. And look, 10 goals against, I'll tell you what, that's not a good thing you want to have on your resume in your career stats going forward.
Right, former NHL Bobby Dulles. Thank you for joining us, Bobby.
Not a problem, guys. Thank you very much. A lot of fun.
Thanks a lot, Bobby.
Take care.
All right, so that was a former NHL Bobby Dulles who joined us to reach us to talk to Montreal Canadiens hockey. And, well, we asked a couple of questions during today's episode. The first one is a 10-0 loss what the Canadiens needed? And another question we can ask, since Al Montoya seems to be a hot topic question, have you lost confidence in Al Montoya based on last night's game? You can let us know via Twitter at Habs360. You can go to the All Habs Facebook page and leave us your comment as well, or you can give us a call at 1-877-455-4945. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featuring allhabs.net.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com. Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right. right, welcome back. Episode 184 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, November 5th, 2016. My name is Chris G, Christy1980 on Twitter, along with Rick Stevens. You can follow him on Twitter at AllHabs. And Rick, it's November. We know every November there's a good cause that the whole AllHabs team works together on.
Absolutely. It's not November, but it's Movember. Movember being the month where the guys grow cheesy, unseemly looking mustaches to raise awareness and also to raise funds for men's health. And the ladies, there's a move challenge. That is, you set your own personal goal that you want to achieve, and you raise money as well. And it's something that many NHL players get involved with, and certainly the fans. And so at the All Habs team, we take it very seriously. We love to bring fans together to be able to raise money, raise support for fellow fans. So we have right now on our All Habs Movember team, we have 12 members, and we've raised just in a couple of days, we've raised over $500 already. And if you want to help out, if you either want to join the team, if you want to make a donation, just go to moteam.co/all-habs-hockey-magazine, or look for our tweets about it on Twitter at the All Habs Twitter account. We'd love to have you either participate or donate. It's a great cause. It runs the entire month of November, and we'd really appreciate your support.
And, you know, no one's losing confidence. No one's losing faith in this locker room. We fully believe in each other. It's just one of those things, you know, learning from last year's lessons. We're going to learn from it. Whereas some adversity, you know, adversity has the opportunity to either crumble you or make you stronger. We're going to see how we come out, but, you know, I believe in everyone in this locker room.
So that's Brendan Gallagher following last night's game. And, well, the question that we've been asking is a 10-0 loss what the Canadians needed. And the reason why we asked that question, is because, well, the Canadians were off to a 9-0-1 start, so we all knew that at some point the Canadians were going to lose. We were going to start losing. Like, nobody was expecting them to go 81-0-1 this season. Well, besides Rick, obviously, because he knows how good Michel Therrien is. But realistically, we knew that wasn't going to happen. So they had to lose at some point. Is this a loss that's going to help them, the Canadians, bring them back to their feet, bring them back to work hard, go back to their good habits that made them win at the start of the season? And I think it's going to help. And definitely tonight's game against the Philadelphia Flyers is a good way to start it. It's a good thing the Canadians are playing right away and try to get a victory to make sure that last night's loss is forgotten. Because if the Canadians lose again tonight, then the panic has already started in Habs land, in Habs Nation. If they lose again, it's going to get even worse. But my friend, Tory Mitchell, who was my winner of the week, this is one of the reasons why I named him my winner of the week, because he had a good quote earlier this week.
Calme, s'il vous plaît.
There you go. Calme, s'il vous plaît, is the advice. Everybody stay calm. It was one game, a very bad game. Let's put it behind us and move ahead. Rick, is the loss that Canadians had last night a good thing for them?
Maybe. You know, as Bobby Dulles said last segment, a slap in the face. And certainly last night's game was that for the Canadians. It was funny, against the Vancouver Canucks, 42 shots against, 42 saves by Carey Price for his 37th shutout of his career, and they were just shut out or outshot. At one point it was 24-3, something like that. Maybe 7 minutes into the second period, and after the game, Nathan Beaulieu said, wow, that was a wake up call for us. And they asked Kerry, you know, was it a wake up call for you? And he said, you know, I'm pretty much awake after that game. A brilliant quote. But apparently it wasn't enough of a wake up call. You know, they said it was a wake up call, but they won the game. They won the game 3-0 against the Canucks, even though they were so badly outshot. Not enough of a wake up call, apparently. So maybe you're right. Maybe something like a really difficult, embarrassing, humiliating, call it what you will, loss last night is what was needed to get them out of the bad habits that they had been sliding into, the bad habits that caused them to be relying more and more and more on goaltending, relying on Carey Price. And it didn't happen last night. And also, if this is the jolt that Michel Therrien needed to bring back some sort of common sense and order to his lines and restore some of the lines that he had at the beginning of the season that seemed to make sense, certainly from a hockey perspective and allocation of ice time, maybe it was worth it. But that's a tough lesson. That's a tough thing to – a team shouldn't have to go through that kind of a lesson. But, you know, maybe it was – if they turn this around starting tonight against the Flyers, maybe it was all worthwhile.
And let's see what was said on Twitter regarding to that question. Tim Alexander, he writes, what is needed is an NHL coach. So thank you for the tweet, Tim. Next comment comes from, it comes from Skills 25. He writes, if they lose again tonight, a serious look at the coach is needed. Kirk Muller was brought in for a reason. The system is obvious for defense to read. So thank you very much for the tweet, Skills. And we got one more. It comes from Brian Lenaf. Brian writes, what they need is a coach to realize Dernais is not an effective NHLer. So thank you for the tweet, Brian. Rick, on Facebook?
We do have a couple on Facebook. Carrie Littlelainen, he said, let's talk Philly. The game's behind us. It's time to move on. He wants to forget all about it. Focus on the Flyers tonight. Blaine Potvin, one of the members of our team, who, let's give a shout out to him. He's now in port in Jacksonville. He's a member of the Canadian Navy. They've been out and haven't seen land for 2 weeks until last night. He was able to come into Jacksonville and see the debacle that was last night. About the question, Blaine says, honestly, yes, this team needs to focus on the basics like Weber does. Do the basics right every time like him and you'll be a winner.
And there was also a poll question on the Habs360 Twitter account. That was, have you lost confidence in Montoya because of last night's game? And this question was, the poll question was intentionally put there for a reason. One is because of the Canadiens 10-0 loss against Al Montoya, and also because of, I think it was the night before, two nights before, but well, definitely this week, Mike Condon got a shutout in Ottawa. So trying to combine both of those, maybe to start some kind of backup goalie controversy. But we have smart followers, and he didn't bite. The poll, the results so far is 92% as no, that they haven't lost confidence in Montoya because of last night's game. But it did spark lots of reaction on Twitter as well, which is good because, you know, Habs360, we're very interactive podcast.
The most.
Yeah, definitely the most. Home of the Habs writes, no, sorry, I clicked on the right button, wrong button here. Said the Habs didn't, so we shouldn't either. Frankie from United Kingdom, so we're worldwide. He writes, no way. Next one comes from Scooter, who writes from Vermont. Words of Braden Holtby, just don't have two bad games in a row. So, and that's definitely true when it comes either to Alan Montoya's performance himself or for the Canadian team in general, and that's what we're going to see tonight when they face the Flyers. Jen from North Dakota writes, no, just began work on a new sub-basement for my belief in Habs coaching and management. Mike Morenzi from Detroit, Michigan writes, if anything, the team should be held accountable for leaving the poor guy out to dry. Same with the coaching staff. Next tweet comes from Jacques Beaulieu. I never was a fan of Al. I would have kept Condon. Al looks like a midget. Very small in net. So not a, he's a Montoya hater, that Jack Beaulieu. So thank you for the tweet. Dot writes, no, but my confidence in the coaching staff and management is now well below zero. Habs fan 2 writes, Montoya should have been pulled after the first period. Wendy from somewhere in Canada, because there's a Canadian flag on her avatar, writes, no, the team in front of him is partially to blame. They didn't show up. And I definitely agree. None of the team, including Montoya, didn't show up last night. Next tweet comes from Dan Savard, writes, who leaves the goalie in for 10 goals? A beer league coach. So thank you for the tweet. Next one comes from Skills, writes, if they lose again, no, I already read that one. Sorry, wrong one. 100% disgusting to do that to a goalie. That was on the team and the coaching staff. My faith is in Montoya, though his stats won't show it now. So thank you for the tweet. Kelly writes, seriously, you are only as good as the people around you. That's what makes it a team. Win as a team, lose as a team, coach included. Alfredo from Montreal writes, this question is ridiculous. Thank you. I explained why I asked that question. Flippin from Montreal wrote, but we lost confidence in Terry, fire him. Eugene writes, no, but I still don't have any confidence in the center ice position. Plekanec and Dernay can go. Sandra from England writes, he can't take all the blame for the loss. The rest of the team didn't play at all well. Hope they're back to form soon. So thank you for the tweet, Sandra, and I hope that soon is actually tonight when the Canadiens face the Flyers, because then it's going to get really, really interesting for the Montreal Canadiens and Habs Nation. So thank you very much, everybody, for your tweets and your comments on Facebook.
Listen up. It's time for some bad tweets on Habs 360.
And Rick, when the Canadiens go through a bad stretch or a bad game last night, there's definitely some bad tweets out there.
There was a whole boatload of bad tweets, dumb tweets, just silly tweets. The Canadiens fan base kind of lost it last night. There was actually too many to pick out one, so we'll just put them in buckets, in categories here. Bad tweets, anything where you said that Condon would have never allowed as many goals as Montoya. That's a bad tweet. Anything where you tried to inject PK Subban, that PK Subban would have made a huge difference last night. That's a bad tweet. That's just silly. Any of the tweets where they were trying to blame Shea Weber for a lack of leadership last night are just really bad tweets. It was 8-0. I think it was about 8-0, and there was a couple of Twitter users who were all over Shea Weber in my timeline, saying that he should have dropped the gloves last night. 8-0. That's just a dumb tweet. Listen, Shea Weber has been superb, absolutely superb, better than anyone could have imagined. He's leading the team in points. He's a plus 14 in plus minus. he's got four power play points. He's got three game-winning goals. Last night, in 25 minutes, just over 25 minutes, in a 10-0 loss, he ended up an even. He wasn't on the ice for an even strength goal. Shea Weber, this I'm sure he was bothered by this. He didn't speak to the media last night. I think he, you know, did want to speak to his teammates on the plane on the way back. Shea Weber should not have been criticized last night. So those categories of tweets, without singling anyone out in particular, are bad tweets for the week.
Speaking of tweets, a couple of more came in. First one comes from Aldo. He writes, "This was a team decision. They all deserve this, and I'd rather one 10-0 loss than the repeat of last year." And that's for sure. If the Canadians go back on the hot streak, this loss will be forgotten. And the last tweet comes from Skills. He writes, "The fact that Davy, for David Dernais, the only forward in the minuses for the Canadians, really shows he shouldn't be playing where he is playing." So thank you for the tweet. And I think we're all in agreement that Dernais, he's a number three center. He's not anything higher than that. Rick, just a couple of seconds. Earlier this week, Mikhail Sergachev, he was sent back down to his AHL, his junior team, to the Windsor Spitfires of the OHL. I think overall that was a good decision by the team.
Absolutely, a very good decision. I think he didn't get in that many games, but I think the exposure he got to being a pro, the exposure he got to the NHL, he knows now what he has to work on and improve over the course of the year, and he's going to dominate junior. He's going to get to play in the Memorial Cup as Windsor as a host. Mikhail Sergachev is going to be a cornerstone defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens, and he really had his eyes open. I think the tweet that he sent out as he said goodbye said it all, that he really appreciated the experience. If you follow him on Instagram, you've seen that the Russian contingent has really taken him under their wing, even though he's terrible at poker and he had to do all kinds of crazy things for the loss, and he's pictured with Markov and Galchenyuk and Emelin. I think it was a great experience for him, and we look forward to him having a very productive year in junior and then to cracking the lineup next year for the Montreal Canadiens.
Obviously, I had a good time here. Talk to those guys like Markov and Weber and all players, because they had a good experience in NHL, and it's just pretty amazing. It's not every 18-year-old kid can talk to Shea Weber, to Markov, and play games with them and practice with them. So I had that.
Yeah, so he had that, and he got 1 month's worth of an NHL paycheck, so that's not bad either. And well, what does he have to improve? Here's what the GM had to say.
Do things quicker. If I say one phrase, do everything quicker. In junior, you have more time. At this level, there's no time. Time and space is limited, and he has to get to a point where he has to work on that. Even in junior, when I see him, he takes his time to make plays because he knows that he has time, but he has to do it quicker.
So there you go. So we're going to see Sergachev in the Canadiens uniform sooner than later. Obviously not this year, but, you know, there's a good chance he does make the team next season. Rick, thank you very much.
That was a great show. Thanks for having me on.
It was our pleasure. It's great to be back. Thank you to everybody who sent us in their tweets and their comments on the All Habs Facebook page and on the Habs360 Twitter account. Thank you very much as well to former NHLer Bobby Dulles, who joined us in the second segment. If you just joined us and you missed it, go to iTunes, go to All Habs, type Habs360, and you'll be able to listen to the interview once again. Remember, Canadians lost 10-0 last night. But as Tori Mitchell says,
calme, s'il vous plaît.
Exactly. Calme, s'il vous plaît. Let's relax. It was only one game. Canadians can turn it around. And next week, well, we might be back and be super happy about the Montreal Canadiens. You'll have to tune in next Saturday at the 2 p.m. Eastern. My name is Chris G. Talk to you in 7 days.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.